That this morning that we can know, Father, that you called each of us to a place of sonship, to a place of being your sons and being your daughters. Father, you did not create us to become slaves of this world. You called us to be sons and daughters. Thank you, Father, for calling us to that place. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. While singing that last song, I just felt that, I don't know if it's someone here or if it's a word for all of us, but so often what we want to do is we want to break the waters and do all that kind of things to get closer to God, but Jesus says that he already did everything that needs to be done. So he's calling us as sons and as daughters, but it's not from a place where we first need to defeat the enemy or anything like that. That's already done. So all you can do is you can just walk into that place. He's calling you and you can just walk into that place. So I just want to give that to you. This morning I'm talking about membership. What is membership? What does the Bible say about membership? That kind of thing. And I want to start off by asking the question, do you believe, and I want you to answer me, do you believe that Jesus is God? Okay, we all believe Jesus is God. Do you believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? We all believe that, right? Can any one of you show me a scripture where it says that Jesus is God, not the Son of God, a scripture where it says that Jesus is God, or a scripture where it says that, or basically, where the Trinity is outlined, a single scripture where it says that? Sorry? But it doesn't say exactly the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm getting at? Because we all, and it's right, Jesus is God. And there, of course, is the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you can go look for it if you want. And if you prove me wrong, then next week I'll come stand here and I'll apologize to all of you. But I actually believe that you won't be able to, because there's no single scripture that says that. But it's implied throughout scripture. And that's why we can take it. That's why we can believe it. Because you see, there's a lot of things that's actually implied throughout scripture. You don't have a single verse saying this thing or that thing. But it's implied throughout Scripture. Where you need to look at the Bible or the New Testament for some of these things. Look at the New Testament. And if you look at it and you read it and you see all through, you see this, where it says something. But there's not a single verse that says it like that. You know, so often there's some of these things. Then you think by yourself, man, it would have been so much easier if there was just a verse saying it like that, but there isn't always. And just to practically explain this whole thing of implying things, I want to give you an example. If I tell my children, I do wood work, so if I tell my children, don't play with the power tools, don't put your fingers inside the saw machine, don't play with knives, if I tell my children, don't go play in the street in front of cars, what do I imply? It's dangerous, something will happen. I imply that I care about them. I imply that I love them. I imply that I don't want anything to happen with them. But did I say that? No. But you see, it's implied through what I said. And how do they know that that is the kind of things that I'm implying? Because of relationship. Because there's a relationship between me and my children, I can say certain things to them and they'll know. He's saying this because he loves me. Because he cares. Because he don't want to see me hurt. So it's implied through what I'm saying. And, well, they don't always do what I tell them. You know, so although I can say certain things and I want to imply something with that, they've got a choice. So they don't always do what I tell them. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. There's a lot of things that God, he don't necessarily say it in one single verse. He implies it throughout Scripture. And because we've got a relationship with him, we get to a point where we start to understand what he's trying to tell us. We understand that. And even why he's telling us that. But we don't necessarily do it. That's still our choice. So, what I'm, like I said, we're going to talk about membership this morning. And to me personally, for many years, I was at a place of really believing that I need to be part of a church. A place of really believing that God has given me my leadership and I need to submit under them and all that kind of stuff. But even in being a pastor, when it comes to the point of membership forms, taking membership forms and signing them and all that kind of stuff, I thought, I don't know if it's that necessary, to be honest with you. So what I had to do, and I'll say more about that in the end, but what I had to do is, I had to go and look at what other people say about it. Why do other people say it's important? Why can't we just, we just come to church and be part of the church, that kind of thing. So I'll say more about that at the end, but why I'm mentioning this now is because, looking for the guy's name now. David Platt. Because I looked at something that David Platt said, something he wrote about membership. So basically, I want to give him credit for that. So I'm not going to say I've got this thing that I all worked this out. It's just something that blessed me when I looked at it. And afterwards, I'll share a little bit about out of my own heart as well. But the thing about some things being implied, what I see is, if I look at Scripture, is I see membership being implied in Scripture. I don't see a single verse saying you need to be a member of a church. I don't see a single verse saying you need to sign membership forms to become part of a church. I don't see that. But if I look at Scripture, I can see, but through the Word of God, I can see he's implying that he wants us to become part of a church, to be part of a church. I can see that in Scripture. So to start off, I just want to read the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12 to 18, where Paul is writing, and he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Amen. Thanks for that. Glad to see someone's excited to be here this morning. So if we look at that piece of scripture, what we're seeing is the word members. Where it talks about being a member, where it talks about being part of something. Where you're not standing on your own all by yourself, you're part of something bigger, you're a member in something. But still, it doesn't say directly, but you all need to be part of a church. It implies that. So what I want to do is I want to move to this, basically this thing that David Platt wrote, and I want to share this with you. And how he did this is he talked about membership being implied in four different categories. And that will show us that that's the heart of God. The first one, it says membership is implied by church gatherings. Now the thing is, so if you look at scripture, and we'll see there's church gatherings. And membership is being implied by that. Something that was quite interesting to me, if you go look at the word ecclesia, you will find that word in the original Greek. You will find it 114 times in the Bible. 90 of those 114 times that you find it, it will be in the New Testament. And what that word means, it means gathering. So that word means gathering. We also, if we look at examples, I think often what we do is we ask questions, but should we do this, should we do that? And then we go look at biblical examples. What did the people in the New Testament, when it came to church, what did they do? What did Jesus do? Those are the kind of questions we can ask, the kind of things we can look at. And if we look at examples, we see in the Bible, for instance, the church of Corinth. We see the church that meets in Aquila. We see the church at Priscilla's house. So we definitely see different gatherings, different churches, even being called different churches. We see that in the Bible. And also, if we think about the letters of Paul, when Paul wrote his letters, he wrote it to a specific group of believers, to a specific church. He wrote it because of what was going on in that church. He wrote them a letter, and he said to them, listen, guys, I heard this is going on. Not in the universal body of Christ. I heard this is going on there in that group where you are gathering. And it can't work like this. You're supposed to do the following. So we see that letters of Paul, and that shows us that there's definitely different groups that comes together. So we see membership being implied by church gatherings. You agree with me? It's very quiet here this morning. I think just shake the person next to you and ask him, are you still awake? Are you excited to be in church this morning? Okay, the second one. Okay, JP is clear now, huh? Pulling your leg, man. Now, the second one is membership is implied by church discipline. So there's a lot of scriptures that talks about church discipline, and through that we can see that membership is being implied. When Jesus talks about confronting a brother in sin, listen to how he relates it to church. Matthew 18, verse 17. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Interesting thing, it talks about Gentiles and tax collectors, and the reason for that, I don't know if any of you are tax collectors, but the reason for that, because in those days, basically, it's not the same as a bookkeeper, if you're wondering. The thing about those days, just saying it's got nothing to do with the sermon, but In those days, what happened is those people worked for the Romans. And there was a certain part that needed to go to the Romans. But what the tax collectors did is they collected as much as they wanted. So if they got to your house, they stopped there with this big merc, maybe two of them, and a lot of guys is coming out, they're walking into your business, and they said, okay, we want this amount. It wasn't cost in that time, but this is more or less the idea, you get it. So that's what the tax collectors did. And so they gave the part of it to the Romans, and part of it they kept for themselves. But they were basically so bad, they had their own category. They're not just Gentiles. You'll see it in Scripture. They call the tax collectors and put them one side. And that's just something interesting if you think about it. Then Jesus called Matthew, who was a tax collector. And I can just think, you know, when he did that, the going to Matthew and meeting him, and now, okay, we're going to your house, we're going to eat, and I can see all the other disciples. Jesus, he's a tax collector. What you getting us into? You know, what are people going to say? I can just think, imagine that. But that's what he did. He just went out to everyone and anyone, and he received you the way you are. So yeah, anyway. So Matthew 18:17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, why this verse is important, I think for a lot of us, we believe in the universal body of Christ. So what we say is, no, Jesus didn't say be part of a church. Jesus just called us to be part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not this group of people, it's a whole bigger group of people, it's all the churches together. Jesus called us to be part of that. And I want to say this, you know, in this church, maybe God called you to be the arm or the leg or the eye. So he called you to a place in this church or another church maybe. But he called you as an individual to be part of a church. And this church, Shofar Windhoek, is part of the bigger body of Christ. So if we talk about Windhoek, if we talk about Namibia, if we talk about Africa and the world, maybe Shofar Windhoek is the arm. You understand what it means? Is we're part of a bigger body, but we can't run around out there and say, but I'm part of church. First, you need to become part of a body, a gathering, a group of people, before we become part of the bigger body of Christ. And this membership is implied by church discipline. And this verse actually shows it to us. Because it says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. So my question is, if you say, no, I don't have to become part of a church, I'm just part of the bigger body, the universal body of Christ. Then my question to you is, how do you apply the scripture? Because if a brother sin, tell it to the church. So what do? I take a picture of you. Facebook. Universal body of Christ. God said I must tell it to the church. So now I post your picture on Facebook. On every church I can find, I put your picture on their Facebook page. And I say, listen, this brother of mine is in sin. Because the word of God says that if someone sin, I need to tell it. Someone in church, I need to tell it to the church. You understand what I'm saying? You can't apply the scripture if you only believe in the universal body of Christ. You're getting this? You agree with me? So I can't put it on Facebook. What are we supposed to do with a brother that sins? Is you go to him in love. And you talk to him. But we'll get to that. But so the point I'm trying to make is that it's necessary for us to be part of a church somewhere to to be part of a group of believers somewhere. And the scripture goes on, it says, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So yeah, what it just means is that you get to a place, I think about 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul talks about if someone don't want to listen to the church, then excommunicate him from the church. So let him go out of the church. But to be able to go out of the church, you first need to be part of the church. So all the scriptures implies that we need to get to a place of becoming part of a church. The third one, there's only four of them. The third one is membership is implied by church leadership. Now, nothing to do with the sermon. Did you guys know the one, maybe the ones that's married or the ones that, you know, one day you're going to get married and that kind of stuff. Do you guys know that scripture says that men, you should make coffee for your wives? You know that? Okay, I can see there's a couple of people that knows it. Did you know there's a whole book dedicated to this doctrine of men that's supposed to make coffee for their wives? And it's called Hebrews. But we're not going to go into that doctrine today. But we are going to read a verse, Hebrews 13:17. I'm only joking. So please don't go out and say that church is a funny church. Because they're telling people that men are supposed to make coffee for their wives. I'm joking with you, please. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage of you. What we're talking about here is membership is implied by church leadership. Now, think about this for a second. It says that your leaders, they are keeping watch over your souls. So, I'm a pastor of a church. And the question I want to ask here is, if I'm a pastor of a church, that means that at some stage I'm going to give account for the people that sit in front of me. Now, if God is talking to me as a pastor and saying, but listen, you're going to give account for the people in church, who's he referring to? The universal body? I can't be held responsible for what other people, other Christians out there do. I can't be held responsible for what other people in Windhoek do. But I'll be held responsible for what happened in my church, in the church where I'm the pastor. Did I steward people? Did I help people like I was supposed to? Did I lead people? Did I give them true scripture? Or told them things that they would like to hear? You see, if you think about that scripture, that verse, it can't be like that. It implies membership. It implies being part of a church. And the other side of that coin, it starts with saying, obey your leaders and submit to them. So who are your leaders? If you say, but no, I'm part of the body of Christ, not a specific church. God is saying to you, okay, obey to your leaders and submit to them. Who are they? Are they all Christians out there? Are they maybe, you say, but I'm not even going to church. On every Sunday, I'm sitting in front of the TV and I switch on God TV or whatever channel it is and I look at the Bible there, at what it says there. So now the next moment, some bro comes up there saying, but you should do this and this and this and this. Now you must go do it. Because the word says, obey your leaders and submit to them. So you must go do it now. Does it work like that? No. We need to get to a point where we say, but listen, this is the place I want to be. This is the place where I believe that God is planting me. So I obey this leadership, Not all leadership out there. It's like it's the same with, if you think about the scriptures talking about women and their husbands, it says that women should submit to their own husbands. Not to all husbands. Because there's a lot of people that believe that woman is nothing, and if a man talks, then everything must happen. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, obey, be submissive to your own husband. And guys, just, I see some of you with big smiles now. It also says that you should love your wife like Jesus loved the church, and he died for the church. So just want to put it out there. So, what we see if we look at this is we can see membership being implied by church leadership. And then the last one is membership being implied by accountability. Under that, there's three or four things I want to say. The first thing is they were accountable for choosing, the church were accountable for choosing leaders among them. I want to read your scripture, Acts 6, verse 1 to 3. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give our preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So the church were at this place of being accountable for choosing leaders out of them. The next thing is the church is accountable for preaching the gospel, and may I say nothing else. The church is accountable for preaching the gospel. Galatians 1, verse 8 to 10. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You see, the thing is that the church is responsible to make sure that what's being preached, even, that is the true gospel. And if we're out there, if we're not being part of the church, and some guy standing on the corner, and he's preaching a lot of nonsense, and you go to him and you tell him, "Listen, this is not the word of God," he's going to go stand on the next corner. But the church will be responsible for the true gospel. So even in this church, if I'm preaching something that's not the gospel, that's not the word of God, you're actually called to a place of saying, "Stop. That's not the word of God." The church is being held responsible for that. That's also why we record all our services and we put it on the internet and everything. It's basically a place of accountability. Where everything I said, everything I'm saying here today, all the people out there can listen to it. All my leaders can listen to what I'm saying today. It's a place of accountability. The church is also accountable for identifying members. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 to 13, "But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." Verse 12, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge. Now this is contrary to what most Christians believe. Because if you ask Christians, but am I allowed to judge someone, 80%, I believe, I don't have the stats, but I think like 80% of people will say no. You're not allowed to judge someone. But what it actually says here, what Paul is actually saying is, listen, you've got no business judging the world. That's God's business. You've got no business looking at what people are doing out there, even in your head, and judging them for what they are doing. For judging them the way they spend their money, for judging them the way they, or the places they go, nothing. You've got no business doing that. But you've got all business judging people inside of church. You see, what this is all about is accountability. Because me and you can't sit in cell group together every Wednesday, talk about Jesus together. On Sunday, we sit next to each other in church, hands in the air. But Fridays after work, you go to some pub. And you get home 2-3 in the mornings. Drunk. Then God says, no, that's not appropriate. You need to judge that because you love your brother. You need to go to your brother and say, brother, what are you doing? What are you busy with? I know you. I know where you came from. But I also know where you're heading now. And this is not the path of God. So it's that place of telling someone, listen, this thing you're busy doing is not on. Accountability inside the church. Not judging someone to condemn him, but judging someone to help him back onto the path. We've got that accountability to each other. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? You see, so often, it's all about a relationship. So I don't want to say anything because maybe this person will get cross with me. Or maybe this person won't like me anymore. But we've got a responsibility. And in that moment of talking to someone, that person won't necessarily like to hear that. But I can promise you, at some stage later on, he'll get to a place of saying thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for not letting me go. And although this is not really part of the sermon, if you had a place with someone where you can see, but this person is walking in sin, go to that person in love, not to condemn the person, but to help him. Go to that person, tell that person, listen, what are you busy with? And if that person don't listen, go get another brother in church. So it's not a thing of that you hear what this one or that one is doing. Go to someone else in church, tell that person, please come with me. This is what's going on. We need to sort this out. And you go to that person, you talk to that person. And if that doesn't help, you get to the point of coming to the leadership. But the idea is to save that soul for Christ. It's not to get the person out of church. But I've seen that sometimes it's necessary, and I know this is going to sound hard, but sometimes it's necessary to allow someone to go and to live that life of sin. It's not God's will. But sometimes it's necessary to let someone go into that life of sin so that they can see the fruit of that sin to come back to Christ. But it doesn't have to be that way. But we've got accountability towards each other. And then the last thing I want to say about this is that the church is accountable for sending missionaries. Acts 13 verse 1-3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now this verse, or this piece of scripture is very important. If you think about it, we're talking about Paul. Now this is someone that wrote a lot of books in the Bible. This guy was traveling somewhere. Jesus appeared to him. He was struck with blindness. And right there, Jesus called him for ministry. But what happened there is he didn't got up there from the floor and said, okay, from now on, I've got the fire and lightning ministries. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my ministry and I'm going to change the world. No. He got up then he went to the church. He got discipled through the people in church. In this verse, verse 2, Acts 13, verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. May I say years before that. So the Holy Spirit came through the church and sent them out. Sent Paul out. This guy, Jesus appeared to him, called him for ministry. But he was sent out by the church. Now my question is simply, if the church is the vehicle the Holy Spirit chose to use, why can't we? Because throughout Scripture I see God working through His church. If I look at these things, I see membership being implied through Scripture. I can see God is calling each of us to that place of becoming part of a church, not just a universal church of Christ. And why I'm saying that is because the nice thing of just being part of the universal body of Christ, there's no accountability. You don't have to answer anything to anyone. If someone walks up to you and says, listen, brother, what are you busy with here? Then you can just move along and say, okay, they're judging me there, going somewhere else. If you're sitting in a church and you listen to sermons where it's building you up very nicely, and all of a sudden they start to talk about going out and reaching the nations, what the church were called for, then you say, okay, whoa, not my calling, wrong church. I'm moving to another church. You understand what I'm getting at? No accountability. Without accountability, we can't grow. Without being challenged, we can't grow. So it's easy to run from one church to another, but it's difficult to stay at a certain place. Because in the beginning, it's like this honeymoon phase. You know, it's like when a couple gets married in the beginning, she just can't do anything wrong. Everything is fine. A couple of months later, and you can ask the people that's sitting here that's married, not that long. A couple of months later, why are you doing this? You know, I always did that. Yeah, but it doesn't matter, it starts to bother me now. Honeymoon is over. So now we're getting to that place of now we're going to have to work on things. It's the same with church. In the beginning, we've got this honeymoon phase. Everything is just great. You know, it's just great to have this new building and everything. Everything's just great. And then as we go along, then that honeymoon phase gets over and we start to get on each other's nerves. See, that's where growth is going to start. It's at that place. And I said in the beginning, for a long time I thought, but, you know, membership forms and all those things, why is it really important? If I look back in ministry, and the thing that I see is there was a lot of people in my life that came to me at some stage saying, listen, I'm with you. I'm part of this church. I'm with you. We're going to do this thing. We're going to change the world. And when I talk to them about membership and stuff, they, you know, we're all just part of the body of Christ. And yes, I choose to submit here and to be part here. But I don't think membership forms is that important. I mean, what difference is going to make whether I'm giving and signing and all that stuff or not? And then I got this picture. It's like God gave me this picture of getting married to someone. Because being a member to me is a lot like marrying to someone. And why I say that is because if you as a young man decide today, you know, you really like that girl. So now you start to date and at some stage you say, listen, can we move in together? You know, I really believe we've got a future together. Can we move in together? And you move in together. But we're not going to get married. No, no, no. You know, I really love you. I really believe we've got a future together. That's just a piece of paper. That's not going to change anything in this relationship. 6 months down the line, she asked you one morning, honey, can you please start to pick up your socks next to the bed? And now you're thinking by yourself, but where did that come from? It's only socks. What difference does it make? The week after that, honey, can you please start to help me with the dishes? Now there you start to think, okay, but now I'm not so sure what's going on here. I'm sure she's not satisfied with me the way I am. She's trying to change me. If I'm not good enough for her, maybe I should move on. What's keeping me here? See what I'm getting at? But if we get married, we get together, we get married in front of God, we say in good times and in bad times. So whether there's socks and underwear on the floor or not, whether there's dirty dishes or not, whether there's money in the house or not, I'm not at a place of saying, but should I go? I'm at the place of saying, okay, how are we going to get through this? It's the same with church. If we get to that place where we say, okay, give me the membership forms. I sign the membership forms. There we go. It's a place of commitment. Of saying, I'm not here while everything is going good and nice. I'm here whether it's going to be good or bad. Whether it's going to be challenging or not. I'm here for that. It's like a marriage where we say, listen, we are committed to stand together. We are committed to get somewhere. And when it comes to membership of a church, it's that place for me where I really think that for each person, you pray and you ask God, where do you want to plant you? Because you're only going to grow if you get planted somewhere. But if you're like a plant in a pot, it's like the growth is going to be limited. It's not going to go to the fullness that of which it's supposed to go to. So you ask God that question, Lord, where do you want to plant me? Can I identify with this group of people? Can I identify with the vision of this church? And if you can, and you believe that this is where God wants to plant you, then you commit there. Then you become part of that. Become part is like becoming a partner in that. Become a member there. And you grow together to get to some place. And I know for a lot of us, me included, we've got bad history with churches or with leadership. And we say, but, you know, because of what happened, I'm never going to become a member again. The question I want to ask you, have you ever been to a shop and when you got to the till, they charged you something different than what the price was on the shelf? Okay, I think most of us did. And you walk out there, did you walk out there and say, okay, I'm never going to a shop again. I'm never going to buy something from a shop again because something bad happened there now. You know, maybe it's a case of, I believe with some shops, they'll do it on purpose. And with some shops, they won't. But that's what happens. Were you ever hurt in the world out there? Yes, we all were. That we got up and said, okay, I'm never going to be part of the world again. No. But with church, when we get hurt, what we do is we say, okay, but I'm pulling out. I'm never going to be part of church again. And I want to tell you that often those things that happen, that those bad things, you know, a lot of times it's our perception and we're wrong. But other times we're not wrong. Something bad happened. But if you can get to a place of going to Christ with that and saying, Lord, I'm still committed to your church. I'm telling you now you're going to grow because of that experience. There's no perfect church because we're part of it and we're not perfect. But God, Jesus still chose us to be part of his church and to change the world. So no one is going to be, I just want to say, no one is going to be forced to become members or anything like that. So please don't think that. What we're basically doing is we're putting out the invitation in saying, this is who we are. This is what we believe the Word of God says. We believe the Word of God says that it's important for us to become members of a church. Where we get to a certain place of relationship where we say we are really committed to each other and we're walking this journey. Whether things are going great or whether things are going difficult, we're walking this journey. And we're trusting God for His kingdom to come in each of you, but also in the world. Because the church were called for that. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to introduce some members to you. And I said it before, but I think some of you have been members longer than me. Maybe even of Shofar Church. But I'm just, we're at the place where I feel, I just want to draw a line. Because I received all these forms of who's in the church, and I read the names, and a lot of them, I don't know who they are. I found people, and numbers have changed, and everything. So it's not, let's call it new members. That therefore, I'm asking each of you, whether you've been here for the last 10 years, if you say, listen, this is where I'm at. I believe God is planting me here, and I believe God has got a plan with me in this community of believers, then I want to invite you to fill in the membership form. So what I'm going to do is I received some forms up to now. Those members, I'm going to introduce them to you this morning, and we're going to pray for them. And for the rest of you, if you're at that place of saying, okay, but you know, I want to get to that place, I want to commit, I want to become a member, there's a lot of membership forms there. Can fill it in, and at the next sermon we can we'll introduce you as well. But for me, receiving members it's always a celebration, because it shows that God is there, it shows that there's growth, and it shows that God has got a plan with this group of people. We're not going to stay at the place where we're at, we're moving somewhere. And something else about church is things is always going to change. Because God won't get us into a place of saying, okay, this is the three steps, this is the way we're going to do things, and for the rest of your lives, we're going to do it like that. It's like God is always on the move, there's new people and new places He want to approach and that kind of stuff, and He'll do it through us, and therefore, there will always be change in church as well. So things is not always going to stay the way it is today. Things is always going to change. So if you become part of where we're going and what we're busy with, just realize that. That things is going to change as we're going to move along. So I'm going to call those people to the front. Just want to get this. Okay, the eigenaars is not here. Simone van Wyk. Adrian van Wyk, you can come. Wat so? Chico Mise Iringo. Not yet. Enoch Chikune. Paul and Saskia Bota. Welcome, guys. Thank you. Paul since both. Sandra De Pisani, Ronaldo De Pisani. You know, also why we're doing this is maybe you are here for today for the first time. Maybe you're, you're here today for the first time or the second time. You're sitting here and you're wondering, okay, but these people around me, are they visitors? Are they part of the church? What's going on? So what we're going to do over the next few weeks, like I said, is we're going to introduce everyone to you. And the rest of you, you want to become members. The forms is there. If you think, but no, you first need to talk to me about this, please let me know and we'll talk about it. But can I ask that we just all reach out our hands to them, and I just want to pray a blessing over them. Thank you, Father, that we can be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can see through your word, Father, that you're calling each of us to a place of becoming part of a local church. Father, and it's not about shofar, it's all about you, Father. But Father, you choose to plant each of us in a church somewhere, in that place of accountability. Because you want us to grow, you want us to come to become closer to you, and because you've got plans with our lives. And therefore, Father, I just want to thank you this morning for every person standing in front here. And Father, I just want to pray a blessing over each of them in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying to you, Father, I receive each of them. I understand, Father, the responsibility that you've put on my shoulders for each of them. I understand, Father, what you require from me. But also, Father, we understand that becoming part of a church is a commitment on each of us as well. That you're calling us to a place where you expect us to come and serve. To come and serve your body and to come and serve the world, Father. So that we can give you to the rest of the world. So therefore, Father, we just receive them this morning. And we just want to pray a blessing over each of them. We just pray your protection over each of them. Father, I also understand that you put an anointing over every church, this anointing over this church. And Father, as they become part of this church this morning, that anointing, I just prayed over them as well, that it will overflow them, Father. And that the purposes that you've got for their lives, that will come to fulfillment. And Father, we just want to anoint them. And declare, Father, that you are here and you are visible in each of them. So we anoint them, Father, not for this church, but for your kingdom, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Father, so we just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Father, that we can know, Father, that you call each of us to this place. Thank you, Father, that we can know and that we can understand, Father, that it's all about you. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you don't expect us to be perfect or to first go and sort ourselves out before we come to you. Father, we can come to you just the way we are because you love us just like that, Father. So, Father, also, I just want to pray a blessing over the rest of the congregation. I want to ask you, Father, where we will go this week, that you will be with each of them, with each of us, that we will go out, Father, and that you will be glorified through everything we do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, guys. You guys can go sit. I just want to say, if there's anyone else, if you I just want prayer for anything, you're more than welcome to come to the front afterwards. We would like to pray with you. And if, like I said, membership forms at the table. But also, if you've got questions about that or certain things bothering you or anything like that, don't hesitate to come to me and we can go drink a coffee during the week and talk about it. Otherwise, there's nice coffee and tea in the back as well. Evening service, I just want to remind you, evening service at 6. Bertie said it's more casual tonight. And while he was saying that, I thought by myself, but you're standing here with short pants and pluckies. Please don't dress down tonight, Bertie. Because I don't know what's that going to look like. But you all can come to church tonight like Bertie came this morning. Pulling your leg, Bertie. Now, all I want to say about it is we know that the church is called to make a difference in the world. The church is called to go out and let the kingdom of God come out there. So what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to come together and we're going to worship together. There's not going to be a sermon. But what we're going to do is we're just going to get practical about if you go out there, how do you reach people? So tonight we're going to get to that place of saying, okay, all of us believe we are supposed to go and to make a difference. All of us believe that we are supposed to reach people out there. How do you do that? So in a way, it's going to be like a little session of training on how to do that. And why this is important is because we as a church are going to move out more and more into the world, out there, reach out to people, and go and make a difference there. So just to help you to get to that place we're having tonight, if you understand what I'm saying. So more than welcome to come, more than welcome to invite other people, but enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you.